Okay, we're holding chapter 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, lines from the top of page Yud-Dalid. We're talking about the fight that exists between the animal soul and the godly soul. Shehalukis chafetzav eretzainai, the godly souls, wants and desires, shetehehi levadim sholos alav, that it alone should rule over it, the body, and direct it. And all the limbs should turn according to its dictums, and be nullified to it completely, and to be a vehicle to it. Because generally, most of the moving that you do in the course of a day, you're not thinking about.
No.
You're just doing it.
Right.
So if you're just doing it,
right,
then the Nefesh HaLakis wants that you just do it for God.
Yes.
Okay. I was, when I was in yeshiva, we picked up a Mooney.
Yeah.
Brought into yeshiva.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That was an experience.
And what they did to this kid, man, oh man. He said, you don't understand what the brainwashing, the tactics that they do, how intense it is.
Right.
Because with them, it's everything's for Reverend Moon.
Right.
And he said it got to the point where he was thinking, am I turning on the tap to get a glass of water for Reverend Moon?
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that's really incredible. You couldn't do that for,
yeah,
you couldn't do that for God, because that involved your Nefesh HaLakis. So Reverend Moon is your Nefesh HaBahamas. You would say,
right,
Yetzer Hara could do that.
Right.
You
right
know,
right.
Nefesh HaLakis, nah, couldn't. You can't train yourself to think, am I turning on the faucet for God? And that one I've never saw anywhere, any mimer discuss.
You probably know, that, not, no.
You know, it does say, you know, behold the Rechecha De'ehu, and everything that you do should be a seen
right
period apparent for godliness, but not that the person's stopping and thinking, I'm turning on the tap so I can get a glass of water for God. No. So,
yeah,
but that's what your godly soul would like.
Right.
Okay. If there were such people today that actually did that kind of stuff, would we refer to this person as being holy, or would we refer to him as being nuts?
Yes.
You know, so...
just yes.
You know, so it remains to be seen, you know, so...
Yeah.
And that it should be also, there should be like a Markava. The word Markava is a pretty... pretty radical term, because in the annals of history there have only been three people who have reached the level of Markava, and
right,
they being Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So your godly soul could really want all it wants. Doesn't mean it's going to get it, but ultimately what does it want? It wants everything. Why
yeah
should, you know, why think small?
Right, exactly.
You know, if you're thinking, well, I know he's not going to be a Markava, so let's try like level two. So then what happens is level two now becomes inaccessible.
Right, right, right. So you get level
keep,
you know, 0.001.
Right. So you keep your totally out of sight.
Right.
You know, unreachable for all intents and purposes, this idea that every movement that a person is doing is
it's
not from his own free
right
volition, but because of the dictates of the Almighty.
Right.
You make it okay, so he's not going to get that, but that's what your godly soul would like to say. This is what
yeah
I would like.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
that's
yeah
our bargaining tool.
Right,
we're
right,
start,
right. We're
we'll start from there, and we'll see what we can wind up with.
Right, yeah. This is the minimum we want.
Yes.
We'll see what we get.
We can get, yes. This would be ideal. Everything yeah else is just a compromise.
Right, exactly.
And the body should also be a garment. La'eser b'china seha, to its three aspects. Excuse me, the 10 aspects, the Gimel
right,
Levusheha,
right, right,
the 10 aspects, the Chochma Bina Vadas, Tensel Chod Yisoid Malchus, etc., and the three Levushim Hanal, that of thought, speech, and action, Sheis Lab Shukulam Behevori Haguf, that they should all be enclosed in the limbs of the body, the Yaguf Kule Mali Mahem Levadim, and the only thing that should be in your body, in my body, are the attributes and garments of the godly soul.
Mm.
Okay, that's the goal that the godly soul has established
yes
for itself.
Right.
And that there will never come to pass through any type of a stranger or strange influence into them. The Hainu, that means to say, so how are you going to do this? What do you have to do? Okay, so this is where it gets thick.
A little
this, is where, this is where we
yeah
separate the men from the not men.
Mm-hmm.
Talis meichin shibereish. That means to say, the three brains that are in a person's head. That should be totally filled with only the intellect of the godly soul. Shehi chachmas Hashem ubinasei, that this is the wisdom of Hashem, which the wisdom of Hashem we usually refer to as the Torah.
Right, sure.
So, step one to being a Beinoni is you got to learn a lot.
Learn a little bit, yeah.
You got to learn a lot.
Anyway,
right.
Yeah.
As it says in Perkei Avos, Ein Am Haaretz Chosid.
Right.
An ignorant person cannot be a chosid.
Right. Okay? I qualify for that.
So, there is different levels of Amaratzis, you know, so. The you know, there was an old rabbi who lived in Florida. Mm. I don't know if he always lived in Florida, but maybe when he got older, he moved to Florida. Mm-hmm. And he used to give a hashgacha on products of a dubious nature. Not that the products were dubious, but his hashgacha was dubious.
I understand, yes.
So the Rosh Hashiva down there, Lavel Shapiro, used to come in. He used to come and talk to Lavel Shapiro and Yanni learning, you know, like, right, you know, this old rabbi and talking to the Rosh Hashiva and matters of learning.
Right.
So he once commented about that rabbi. He said that he's an Am Haaretz in the whole entire Talmud. So.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, there's different levels of Amaratzis, you know, so.
That's funny.
Yeah. that means it's a little bit of a nefeshah, like, Yishehu chachmas Hashem ubuinasei, and it's understanding of the Torah. Mm. Then, to take that one step further, it's one thing for a person to say, I understand. Something that you learned last week, do you still understand it? Yeah,
you should understand it. You should, yeah.
But what has that done is that with all the things that have happened between since last week till now,
right,
it's like your brain is on a conveyor belt and the new stuff is pushing the old stuff back.
To the back, right.
Okay, so what you learned last week is back there.
Right.
And but what does that have to do? But hello, lihis bayin bigdulase. But a person has to take that information now and meditate, which that's a cognizant level of brain function.
Right. Right.
To think entirely in the greatness of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the I was just going to tell the story. I forgot what it was. It'll come to my head. Something about his bitterness, but to meditate in the greatness of Hashem. Asher ein cheker ve'ein seif. And what is it specifically that a person is trying to understand? So this is where, in Jewish meditation, you can never get there.
Okay.
Because what is it that he is thinking about? He's thinking about how Hashem has no end or limit.
Right.
Now, when you're thinking about something which has no end or limit, how long can you think about what no ends or limits are there or aren't there?
Pretty much limitless.
Yeah. Yes, you can think about it forever. Whereas in other meditations, there is a certain goal that a person tries to achieve in the other philosophies around the world.
Yeah.
And once you hit that goal, well, all you just got to do is you got to maintain it, that's all.
Someone told me once that the shingle that you're hanging above the door is a place typically where you stopped.
What does that mean?
The declaration of who you are.
Yeah.
I'm a so-and-so, I'm a so-and-so, I'm a so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
I said typically that was the label of where the person stopped.
Okay.
I achieved this level and I stopped here.
Okay. That's interesting.
I thought it was a pretty good piece.
That's interesting. I went. Somebody asked me to look up their profile on Frumster.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with Frumster? Frumster is a Jewish matchmaking site.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Okay, you go on, you register, you pay a couple of bucks, you put down a profile, what it is that you, who you are, and what it is that you're looking for.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So now what you can do is if you're not a member of Frumster, if you didn't pay the bucks,
right,
you can look to see who's on it. Let's look at the pictures and see like a general description and the first four words of the guy's profile, who I am.
Okay.
Okay. So my wife was thumbing through it looking for this guy's profile.
Right.
So my wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for this guy's profile. Uh-huh. And she said, "You're never going to find it." And right as she said, "You're never going to find it," I went, "Oh, there it is."
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so on the page right. was about fitting on my screen was about a dozen profiles, pictures, and
right.
stuff.
Right. Right.
Okay. And I'm in the meantime, I'm copying out what information I can. And she says, "You know, you can tell a lot from the first four words that a person says."
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Indeed,
so.
You can.
We kind of looked at it and said, "Yeah, that person kind of sounds, you know, not so sure of himself."
Uh-huh.
You know, first of all, I'm just a man.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh, forget it. Wishy-washy. Get out of here."
Yeah.
You know.
yeah.
But this person who I was looking up, so I know him very well. So he said, "I'm a bit eclectic." And we went, "Bingo." Yep, that's him.
Yeah.
So you're right. You can who a person is in their first four words.
Yeah, there you
okay.
go.
So the I hope never to have my face ever posted on any of those sites.
Oh man, me too.
Okay.
Especially with somebody else's description.
I just happened to right. I happened to notice I have a friend of mine who from a long time ago, he was living in Israel for like ever, he unfortunately got divorced.
Right.
And I saw his picture there and I said, "That looks like so and so," and she said, "Oh, that's so and so."
Uh-huh.
You know, that's without a doubt, that's so and so.
Yeah.
He said Muncie, New York.
Yeah.
Okay. So his first four words was, "I'm 51 and a Baal Tshuva."
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, well, what does that say about him?
You know, exactly. So. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Interesting, yeah.
So a person is sitting and thinking about the infiniteness of Hashem. There is
right.
no end to
right.
it.
Right.
V'haylid mehen al yedei das. And then, now, once a person's got it, what we don't want to see is whatever you've accomplished with your intellect to fall into the conveyor belt and get shoved back
right.
out from your psyche. Now, right. in order for that to happen is, well, you can't be like one of those plate spinners on Ed Sullivan. You remember those from way back when?
Yeah.
You had the guy, what did he started a plate, he got it spinning, he went to another plate, he got
right.
that one spinning.
Right.
But then the first plate, he had to he had to spin that one again, too.
Then
he put up a third plate, but that time the second plate was running, he had to do that, do the first one and the second one,
right,
and the third one. So we don't want you to have to do that because that's not very cost effective.
Exactly.
You're not going to get too far.
Right.
Because that guy usually got about maybe five, six, seven plates.
Right.
And that's it. That's as far as he could
do.
As
much as he could do.
Right. We don't want that to happen. Now, how are we going to prevent that from happening is the faculty of Das.
Mm.
Because what does Das do? Das, we talked about this in chapter 3. Das is the connector.
Right.
Das makes it relevant. Das takes your intellect and puts it to work.
Yes.
Okay? That's what Das takes it. Das is the bridge between the intellect and everything else. And especially Alter Rebbe says according especially to the emotions. Because the subscribing of Hasidic philosophy that the medulla is broken up into which is divided by the spinal cord, the spine.
Right.
You have the right side and the left side. The right side is going to be the side of Chesed of Das,
mm-hmm.
and the left side is going to be the side of Gevurah of Das.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be therefore called intellectual love and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And from that intellectual love and fear can couple up with the Das that's in Chesed and the Das which is in Gevurah.
Right.
And then what you have now is an emotional expression of an intellect.
Right.
Is what you have at that point.
Right.
So the emotional expression of the intellect couples up with the intellectual expression of the emotion,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they're coupled together. And therefore, the intellect can relate to the emotions.
Right.
So that through a person meditating on just how great Hashem is, Hayira b'maycho pachad Hashem b'livavoy. That Hashem, that what will happen is he'll have a fear at least in his brain, and dread of Hashem in his heart. Va'avas Hashem ke'esh bayaris b'libay, and a burning desire in his heart of love of Hashem. Kerish peshel lehevis, like a burning flame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was a story that's been circling around the last 2 weeks concerning the Yisrael of Rishon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this story. He the city of Rizhin was quite a Jewish city.
Uh-huh.
It's located in, I believe, the Ukraine or White Russia.
Okay.
And at that time, the Rizhin Rebbe was there. His name was Yisrael of Rizhin. Mm. Yisrael of Rizhin was a grandson of Avram the Malach, the son of the Mezuzah Magid. So that would make him a great-grandson of the Mezuzah Magid. And from him came various dynasties. The Boyansky Hasidim come from them. What's your son-in-law? What kind of?
Rimanov.
I believe the Rimanov also come from him. Come from Yisrael of Rizhin. I don't remember the Hasidic dynasties.
Does Tversky come from
there? Tversky is from the Baal Shem Tov.
Tversky from Baal Shem Tov. Oh really? You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tversky's are all descended from the Baal Shem Tov.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think from Reb Baruch. I'm not sure what the word Tversky means. Hmm. One who twersks is a Tversky.
I suppose so.
Yes. So the So the story discusses that in the city of Rizhin there was a person whose name was Menashe the Maser. A Maser is an informant.
Uh-huh.
This was a guy you would really like to stay away from at all costs.
And
He went looking to turn people into the authorities.
Great.
Okay, trump up charges against people. He was really a very despised creature in the city of Rizhin.
What was his deal?
I don't know. Also in the city of Rizhin was a very simple fellow who was known as Yussel the Schneider, the tailor.
Schneider? It means tailor?
Schneider means tailor.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I kid you not.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you have to become a polyglot to know all these things, you know?
Yes, I assume so.
Yeah, so the... but this guy was such a simple guy, is that he would suddenly get this, like, get chopped. He had to go see the Rebbe.
Okay.
And he would stand and wait for the Rebbe to come out of his room.
Okay.
And just to see him was enough. You didn't have to hear anything, you didn't have to say anything.
No, just to see.
Just to see him was enough.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the original Rebbe had a custom that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he secluded himself in his room and did not come out or speak to anybody. And if somebody needed, like, something, they would write it on a piece of paper and slip it under the door.
Right.
But
okay.
He stayed in the seclusion.
Right, okay.
Okay? Okay. So once happened, 3 days before Yom Kippur 1 year,
this
Chaim suddenly gets chapped. I got to see the Rebbe.
Right, okay.
And so what does he do? He runs as fast as he can. He runs into the Rebbe's shul, runs up to the Rebbe's study, and starts banging on the door. Rebbe, it's Mendel. I need to see you. Okay? So in the meantime, the Hasidim are saying, what are you doing? You know, get away from there.
Pull it.
They started pulling away. He's shrying, I got to see the Rebbe, I got to see the Rebbe. And they're carrying him out. He managed to break away and grab onto a table. You imagine these old Russian tables you could dance. We had a table in Marstown when I first went there in the Tanya room.
Right.
Okay. The Tanya room is now a bedroom and it holds 8 people. So there was this table. It was, I would say, 12 feet wide by about 30 feet long.
Whoa.
This was a table. I think it was built. It had to have been built in the room.
Sure, obviously.
Okay. And I was at it for bringing 30 guys were dancing on this table.
And it didn't squeak.
I'm not exaggerating. This was
a
table.
Yeah, and it didn't squeak. Right.
So this is the type of table that he was probably holding on to. This table's not moving. He's not moving.
Right.
And he's yelling, I got to see the Rebbe. I got to see the Rebbe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in the meantime, the Rebbe's door opened up. All the Hasidim did a duck and cover.
Right.
Okay, because they're afraid they're going to get yelled at. Why are you disturbing me?
Right.
So he saw Mendel. He gives a look at the tailor, Yossi Schneider, and he says to him, Yossi, you love me, don't you? And he says, Rebbe, I love you. And he says, I love you 10 times as much as you love me. And not only that, I love Menashe the Maser 10 times as much as you love me. And I'm just a limited creature. Could you imagine how much Hashem loves Menashe the Maser?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... This is... So when a person is thinking about the greatness of Hashem, so that's very good, you know, the awe-inspired. But then, The upshot of it is okay, with all this greatness going on,
right,
and all my insignificance,
right,
but Hashem went to all the trouble to create me now.
Right. It shows on an incredible concern and love.
Right, exactly.
Without any possibility of comprehension. Can't get there from here.
Right. Is there rhyme and reason behind it? Yeah, well, absolutely.
Sure, of course, but it's his.
The very basis for it is that we know is that Hashem is good and likes to do good. And we are the recipients of Hashem's beneficence.
Yes.
And that, just thinking about that in those terms, should get a person really excited to say, wow, because if I do you a favor, you have a natural affinity towards me.
Sure, of course.
If I save your life, you have a tremendous gratitude,
which
becomes eternal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never saved anybody's life, not that I know of, but I have a good buddy who lives in California.
Yeah.
He was in a frat house in college, and at a frat party, one of his friends swallowed something the wrong way.
Ooh.
And he did the Heimlich maneuver on this guy, and this thing came flying out of his mouth, and he turned around and says, "You saved my life." Okay, and every time he sees it, this guy—they're in their 50s now.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay,
yeah,
you saved my life.
Saved my life. Yeah, sure, of course, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Now, what are you gonna do with Hashem who made your life?
Yeah, just can't get there from here.
That you got it. That's supposed to get you. That's the level of excitement that a person has to get when you're thinking about Hashem.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, what the Alter Rebbe is trying to do here is bring God from being the old man on the chair out there in heaven.
Right.
Because Hashem is not that. Hashem is very personable and relates to each one of us as an individual.
Yes. Right.
Okay?
Yes.
L'yes nachsafta, that each person should be l'yes nachsafta v'gam kalsa nafshi. That a person should be expiring and thirsting b'chashecha v'chafetz l'adav kaboy, with a lusting and a longing and a desire to cleave to Hashem in His infiniteness, v'cholev nefesh ma'od, with His full heart, soul, and might. Because it's not enough. You're thinking, listen, if I'll do this, I'll get v'chol levavacha. What does v'chol levavacha mean? If I have to say Hashem alakecha v'chol levavacha. So levavacha, Rashi translates, b'shnei yitzarecha, with your yitzar tov, your yitzar hara.
Right.
So once I get my yitzar hara, loving God, good. I did it. I can stop now. No, the pasuk, that's just the beginning in the pasuk. You have v'chol nafshecha, v'chol ma'idecha. So there's still, a lot more to go to.
Still what to be attained.
And since ma'idecha can be translated as your all, so once you give it your all, well, now you got to do all plus one, and that becomes now your all.
Yeah.
That this comes from the depth of the heart and the right ventricle. That it should be inside it this running type of raging type of love, which is full and like a brush fire, like a burning fire. Gedush is a traveling fire. You have fires that are contained. It's a fire that's traveling.
Wild.
And where's a wildfire?
A wildfire.
Until it wildfires right into the left side of the heart. Lachpil esitcherachar yisayda mayim arayim shabo. And what happens now in this instance, according to the Rebbe, is the left side is filled with the yetzahara. The yetzahara, the nefesh Bahamas, are propelled by desire. Desire is an expression of the element of water of the soul. But this, the Alter Rebbe calls acrid water. What are we going to do with this acrid water? We're going to put an amazing amount of heat to it so that the water itself burns off. Okay? Shehutayva shemeklipas naiga. That what do we have in our animal souls are the desires of klipas noga. Because generally, the average Joju doesn't want to do things that are against the Torah. People don't have those desires. We don't walk past Burger King and say, I really want to go get myself a Burger King now. Okay, we don't walk past churches and think, I'm going to go do Mass now.
Yeah, right.
Okay. No one walks into the shul with the intention, as far as I know, no one walks into the shul with the intention, let's see, I'm going to talk to this guy, I'm going to talk to that guy, I'm going to talk to that guy. I got my whole plan over here, who I'm going to talk to during shul.
Yeah,
talking in shul is just one of those things that happens.
One of those is things, yeah, sad to say. Yeah.
Okay, so no one plans on who they're going to talk to.
Right.
Okay, or what they're going to talk about. You know, let's say, I'll talk to this guy about that, I'll talk to that guy about this. And I don't think so. I could be wrong, and I could be hanging out in the wrong circles, but people don't plan to do such stuff like that. That kind of stuff just kind of happens.
It just kind of happens, yeah.
Okay, but our desires are for, another piece of steak.
Yeah.
You know, lop on a piece of some ice cream on that cake.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll tell you a cute story of Hashgacha Pratis. My wife and I have been having this discussion about Hashgacha Pratis.
Uh-huh.
You know, with all the things that are going on in our lives.
Uh-huh.
And so I give an example of Hashgacha Pratis yesterday by the Yotes Kislev Suda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're dancing around, and they brought out the cake.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, Yotes Kislev, I'm on a diet. I haven't had a piece of cake since August.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, Yotes Kislev, I'm going to have a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not going to kill me. It's not going to put too many pounds on my diet.
Right.
doing it, Lekavod Yotes Kislev, make this a big ta-da-dum.
Yeah.
I sit down, I take a piece of cake. The first forkful I put in my mouth, I'm allergic to almonds. And this thing is loaded
with almonds.
With almonds.
Yes, it is. It's loaded with almonds.
And I just said, okay, God.
Got it. I'm getting a clearer picture here,
You win.
Yes, I think I got it, yes.
Okay, so that's the kind of we
yes we are. Yes.
No, it's
yes.
You know, so I have daughters that are prospective at this point.
Yeah.
So I get the name of a bacher.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the first questions I ask the person who says this might be a good person says, what kind of shtus is he involved with? Okay. Don't tell me how much he learned.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's got smicha. Tell me, what kind of shtus is he doing?
That's
the animal soul. That's how our animal souls are manifest.
Right.
But it's not good enough. To convert that to from the desires of pleasures of this world, la'avas Hashem, to love Hashem. The problem with achieving a Beinoni.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is, you have to want to be a Beinoni. Which, wanting to be a Beinoni, you could say, I want to be a Beinoni. Oh, yeah, I want to be a Beinoni. I got this book over here, it's a Sefer Shal Beinoni.
I'm not going to tell
you. I want to be a Beinoni. Wanting to be a Beinoni means, I just gave up my Tainugi Olam Hazeh.
Yeah, I gave up everything. Only everything, that's all.
Right. I'm not interested in pleasures of the world anymore. Most of us very much like our pleasures that we have in the world.
Okay. Yes.
Avrema Lipsker used to say by Verbrengen.
Yeah.
It says, you notice people now saying I want to be a Beinoni is really what there is akin to. Like you have a you have an 18-month-old.
Right.
And the 18-month-old is still in diapers. 18 months is not toilet trained yet.
No.
But the 18-month is eating real food.
Yes.
So what's coming out of this 18-month-old
is real stuff.
It's real stuff.
Right.
Okay. So what happens when the kid makes the real stuff in the diaper? Does the kids come and say, get this off of me, complain? No.
No.
It's warm.
Yes.
It's squishy.
Yes. Yes.
It's it's comfortable.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's what our Tainugi Olam Hazeh are.
Yeah,
and we don't want to give them up.
No, we don't want to give them up. It's just, this is...
So a person's going to be a Beinoni, they have to want to be a Beinoni first.
Yeah, in reality.
Right.
Never
reflected
for that.
Correct. That means to say that a person should rise up and come and reach to this madrega of a great love. And she talks about the different levels of love in the chapters in the 40s. Ava Zoylam, Ava Rabba. Ava Rabba is an accomplishment. V'chiba Yisira, and a tremendous liking. Memedregis Ava Ozek Hirshbe Esh, which is coming from the love, the strong love, like burning fire. V'hu Nikra B'kasav Ava B'tainugin. And that's called, and it's referred to as a love of delights. It's in the Shur Hashirim. It talks about Avalatayinu. Lisanek alavai ma'olam haba. That a person finds more delight in Hashem and Yiddishkeit than chocolate brownies.
Yeah.
Okay? Given the opportunity, would you rather do this mitzvah or eat these chocolate brownies? This person is saying, I'm going mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? I would rather do the... Okay, I know I have to eat. Okay, I'll eat. But I would rather be doing the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
V'ha'einik hu b'mayach ha'chachma v'seichel. And delight is first manifests itself, because delight is something which is not really limited to a specific part of your body. When a person gets something which they refer to, which would say, would call pleasurable.
Okay.
So, like, their whole entire brain just, like, lights up. They do this under scans. They give people different stuff and see how they react to it, you know. So,
right.
Pleasure, the whole brain is just, like, going,
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So it's in the Maya HaChachma, it starts with Sechel, Mishanik B'Haskolos Hashem. That first, what is he doing is he's finding great pleasure just thinking about Hashem.
Mm.
Okay? Which I can understand. People enjoy philosophizing, you know, and discussing, you know, that
right.
kind of stuff.
Yes.
That's easy.
As long as I don't have to apply it, it's a great wonder. It's a nice conversation.
Philosophy is looking at the love of knowledge, and I love knowledge, and knowledge is out, you know. But yeah, no, we have to apply it.
You can get rid of all, the need and urge to change can be completely salved by the discussion of philosophy.
Right.
So, I love philosophy.
Yeah. V'diyasa kefi hasaga sichlei, and his knowledge is according to his level of comprehension, v'chachmoso, v'hi b'chinas amayim, v'zera orders the ruach of its shabakadusha, nefesh elokis. This is now called the water of the level of love of water. Mm. Before we talked about the level of fire. Mm. Now there's also something called the level of water.
Mm.
Which is an expression of delight, because he said in chapter 2 that delights come from the aspect of water of the soul, because water makes pleasures grow. Water makes all good things grow. Because there's two ways to do it. You got that acrid water. Two things you could do with it. You either boil it out, or you flood it so that it becomes nullified.
Right. Okay.
If you pour enough good water into acrid water,
it'll
dissipate. It won't be there anymore.
It'll be bottled.
Right.
Right.
Shehem bo taivas tainugim and lamazet. That from the animal soul comes all these desires, which are coming from the water of the animal soul, which is the pleasures of this world. Mitzchila. K'moshikotav ve'etz chayim sharnan peregimel b'shem hazayir is explained over there. Sheharan nahapach liyos toiv gomer. What is it that your godly soul really wants? Your godly soul wants that your animal soul should turn into a godly soul. Which is not going to happen too fast.
Mm.
But anything that it's desire for even, your animal soul has desires.
Right.
And if we can do enough convincing and saying, listen, animal soul, what you want is illegal, immoral, or fattening. It'd be much better if you desired this stuff.
Right.
You'd be better off in the long run, and probably even in the short run, too.
Yeah, go for the Buster spells.
Right.
Right.
Okay? No one feels guilty because they learn too much.
Not generally.
Unless their wife wanted them home by a specific time.
Right. Unless it involved, you know, like,
right.
Would you like go work for a Panasa now?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm always... I always give a slight smile when I read the halachas, for example, on, it says Erev Pesach.
Uh-huh.
Not Erev Pesach, the night before Erev Pesach, the night of the Bedikah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it says that once it gets dark, you shouldn't sit and learn. You should go do the Bedikah. Why? Because you get so involved in your learning.
That you're going to forget.
You're going to forget.
Right.
And I'm thinking, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Afflict
me with a little of that.
I'm going to get so involved with my learning. Yes.
Let me see.
Mamish. And your godly soul wants it that your animal soul should look like a godly soul. By removing the filthy garments from it, filthy meaning that it's got to do with the forces of evil. Meaning anything that has to do with klippa, is a garment for the thoughts. The thought speech should actually become a garment in conveying the forces of evil, even if it's just klipas noga.
Right.
And that then leaves, if a person's got dirty garments on, if a person has dirty clothes on, they're dirty.
End of story. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get those off, Shehem Tainugi Marlama said that what's the dirty garments is the pleasures of this world. Shehu Malubish Baham, which the animal soul has got his body enclosed in.
Right.
Vikain Shar Kol Hamida Shebelev. And so too it is with every other way a person feels. Shehain Anfe Hayireva Ava. Yeah, for example, Netzach. Okay, the attribute of victory. Men are very good with this. We're dragon slayers.
Okay.
So you can be out there conquering your quests.
Right.
As far as Klippa is concerned, or you can convert those conquests to Kedusha.
Okay.
I heard Zalman Posner speak, I think it was maybe by the first Pekisha I went to, maybe a subsequent Pekisha, that someone asked, well, what about women participating in Shul? And he said, men need to conquer. So Hashem sent them to Shul.
Fair enough.
So that's their turf.
Yeah.
So they can conquer it. You can have the president and the vice president and the gabbai and the people who hate the president, the vice president and the gabbai.
So
it may look like a person is in a Mohammed Hashem.
Right.
When really all it is just their animal soul saying, you know, I got to vent somehow.
Right.
So even such a thing, if he turns it around and turns it to a war for a victory for Elikus, so he's changed it around too. That all the other emotions are branches of love and fear, as we talked about way back in chapter 3. Yila Hashem Levad should be for Hashem alone. V'kol Kayach Hadibur Shebepev Machshava Shebemayach. And all of every utterance out of his mouth and thought in his head, Yimolim in Levushi Hamachshava, V'dibur Shel Nefesh Elokis, should be filled with the thought and speech of the godly soul. You never hear a Benini telling a dirty joke.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't happen.
Shehein Machshavas Hashem V'Tayrasi, that's thinking about Hashem and studying his Torah. That's a pasuk in Tehillim, that it should be his speech a whole day. Velo pasuk puma megirsa, and his mouth would never cease from speaking Torah. V'kayach ha'maisa should be yadayim v'sharim achivarim, and so to also with the power of movement, which is in his hands and his other limbs of his body. Yimamaisa hamitzvahs levad should be totally and completely engaged in doing mitzvahs. What are his feet for? Taking him to do mitzvahs. What are his hands for? Performing mitzvahs, etc. Shehu levush hashlishi nefesh elokis. That's the third garment of the animal soul. Achanefesh bahamis. That's what the godly soul wants. What does the animal soul want that we talked about way back at the beginning of the chapter, that we're having this war going on?
Right.
The animal soul wants to completely change around the good of the person. She's gavar aleha, and dominate over it, and rule over it, be victorious over it, and get it thinking the way the animal soul wants it to think. Kemashal Hazayir Shabazayir HaKadosh. And he gives an interesting disclaimer. That's a disclaimer.
Okay.
As the example of the prostitute mentioned in the Zohar. What's the deal? You have a king, it's a parable. You have a king. And the king has a son.
Right.
And he wants to see how virtuous the king, the son is.
In reality, yes.
So what does he do? He hires a hooker.
Right.
To seduce his son.
Right.
And he tells her, I will reward you greatly if you can seduce my son.
Right.
So the hooker knows, the prostitute knows, that she's really not supposed to seduce the son. Really, rather, she's supposed to try and seduce the son, but the son is not supposed to get seduced.
Right, he's not supposed to succumb. She's supposed to try, but he's not
and
supposed to succumb.
And she is supposed to do the best that she possibly can.
Sure, of course.
Now, given this information, it says she can't do it. So what does she do? She middlemans the job. She has to go hire somebody else.
Oh, I've never heard this.
I'll have to pay you a piece of the action. I get, of course, she gets a piece of the action.
Of course,
the king's paying $1,000.
Everybody's got to make a profit.
Yeah. Right. King's paying $1,000. I'll give you $750. Go seduce the son.
Right.
Okay. Because like this because the original prostitute knows that she shouldn't be seducing him, and it would be really better off for everybody if she isn't successful.
Right.
So knowing that, how could she give it a whole?
Yeah, she can't
give 100% to it.
It's impossible.
So she's got to go remove herself from it, and get in somebody else who'll do the 100%.
Right.
That's why we each have our own tailor-made Yetzirahs. Your Yetzirah, what it wants, I would just laugh at.
Right, correct.
What my Yetzirah wants, you would be shocked. Okay, because everybody's is just right for them.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the example given of the. So, the Yetzirah knows that it would be better if it wasn't successful.
Yeah.
But listen, this is what the whole reason why it was created. There's a story.
It's to do.
Story about a Polish rebbe, I don't remember which one it was, that when he was a kid, so his father told him, you can't stay up late.
Right.
You have to go to sleep so you can wake up in the morning.
Right.
So in the meantime, the kid stayed up late. In the morning, he couldn't wake up.
Right.
So the father says to him, so why do you have to listen to your Yetzirah? So he says, what could I do? I have a Yetzirah, but my Yetzirah doesn't have a Yetzirah telling him not to do what he's supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
So because the Yetzirah is pre-programmed, there's nothing, it can't do anything about it.
Right.
Okay, to be continued.